You know, that's the wonderful thing about believers as the Lord calls them home. It's easy to talk about them. Easy because you know what God done for them. And the last breath, the first breath that a man takes is because God lets him live. And the last breath he takes, if God saves him, will be by grace. Grace will carry him all the way home. What a blessed hope we have. What a blessed hope we have. All right, I'm going to talk about God's claims upon us. God's claims on people. God's claims. God has claims upon people. But I want you to start reading here with me at verse 18. Read to verse 21. You know, I dealt with the verses from 8 to 17 last week. Now let's deal with these verses. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee in the time of the month of Abib. In the month Abib thou camest out from Egypt. And all that opened the matrix is mine, and every firstling among the cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass shalt thou redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, thou shalt break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest shalt thou rest. Now God has claims upon us, as I said. And one claim he has upon us is because he's the Creator. He's the Creator. He made all things. And he made us. Paul told the Athenians on Mars Hill, said, God doesn't need anything we got. He's not worshipped with men's hands, nor by in buildings. You know, because he giveth life, breath, and all things to men. And it's by him, we live right now. By him, we live right now. We have our being, we have our existence, our natures, and what we are as persons, as people. We have our being. And we move through him. I mean, there's... And so God has claims upon us because he gives life. He gives life. He sustains our life. And God just considered in the natural realm, considered everybody in this world. Without God, man can't exist. He can have him silver, he can have him gold, he can have him monkeys, he can have him statues, he can have him snakes, he can have anything he wants and calls it to worship and calls it his God. But man cannot exist and live without God Almighty. Amen. He can't do it. I don't care where he's at. And there's multitudes and multitudes of people that won't acknowledge that. They won't acknowledge God, much less that their life comes from him. But as our Creator, he has claims upon us, and one of these days, them claims will be, you know, it's like that man who said, I've got so much stuff, I've got to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And he filled him up, and then he sat down and said, soul, take thine ease. Take your ease. God told him, you fool, this night, your soul's required of you. God come and got him that night. The night he said, I've got everything. God said, this is your time. So I tell you, everything we got, thus as of us believers, everything we got, we say, God gave it. God gives it. Everything. I understand that my life's in his hands and your life's in his hands. And when it's high, he's got a time appointed for they set the bounds of men, have set the bound of the habitation of men. What that means is he set up the bounds of how long you're going to live, where you're going to live, and how many breaths you got, how many heartbeats you got. He set the bounds for that. And he gave me a time to be born, he gave me a time to be to die. Ain't that what scripture says? Time to be born, a time to die. And so I tell you what, he has claims upon us. Let me, you keep Exodus 33. Look over here with me in Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Verse 5. Look what it says here in verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens, stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth, and that which comes out of it. Now listen to this. He that giveth breath unto the people, and spirit to them that walk therein. God does that. So back over here in this book of Exodus. Book of Exodus. We're about done with it. It's called the Book of Redemption. Because we see the Passover lamb. We see the blood shedding to put away sin. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's why it's called the Passover. There was a lamb slain. The blood was shed. And it was put on the lintels of the door. And everyone inside that house where that blood was shed, God said, when I see that blood, I'll pass over that house. And if every house that didn't have blood applied, God said, I'll visit that house with death on the firstborn. So it's called the Book of Redemption, the Passover, the blood shedding. And when we look in this, we see the brazen altar. The place where they offered the sacrifices on that brazen altar, and it could bear the heat and the wood and the fire upon that sacrifice that was put upon it. And then behind that tabernacle veil, there was a mercy seat. And that mercy seat was made out of gold. And inside that mercy seat that was laying there with those cherubims up there, there was an ark under it, had a lid on it. Made out of gold. And inside that ark was God's law, Aaron's rod that budded, and Moses' rod. They had all that in there. And he had that law, had it all covered. And I tell you what, that priest went in there once a year and should put blood on that mercy seat. And that was an atonement for all of Israel on that one great day, the Day of Atonement. And I tell you, for the redeemed, God's claims are realized in us, acknowledged by us, and desire to be honored. We desire to honor God's claims on us. He told Moses here in verse 4, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning, went up unto Mount Sinai. Now listen to this, as the Lord had commanded him. You know why he went up there? The Lord commanded him to. He didn't say, Moses, I sure would appreciate it if you'd come back up here. I want you to exercise your will. I want you to exercise the power of your choice. I want you, you've got a chance now. Come on up here. He commanded him to come up there. God don't ask nobody to do anything. He commands people to do things. A sovereign don't beg, he proclaims. And I tell you what, and he took these two tables of stone. And what the law represents is this. The Ten Commandments. We're talking about Ten Commandments now. The law tells us to submit ourselves to Him. I am the Lord thy God. Worship Him only. Have no gods before me. Those two, so here, this law teaches us submission to Himself. His revealed will is that love your neighbor as yourself. Don't you lie, don't you steal, don't dishonor your father, don't dishonor your mother. Listen, he gave those, and when we see that, we submit to that. I find no fault in it at all. And that's what he requires from his people. And we'll see that we can't do that. And we have to have someone else to do it for us. Someone else has to fulfill the law for us. Someone else has to do the Ten Commandments for us and fulfill them. You know, God demands perfection. It's perfect keeping of the law. If you offend in one point, you fail in one point of the law, you've destroyed the whole. destroyed the home. And this is what people, some people do. They'll say, well, you know, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and that, but right today I'm going to start living good and I'm going to start living better and I'm going to go, and they'll say, I'm going to start today. But you can't undo that yesterday. You can't undo that yesterday. But anyway, now look what else he says here. Here's how God governs these people. Look in verse 6 and 7. God governs these people. And the Lord passed by before him. Talking about Moses. And proclaimed the Lord. What did he proclaim about him? The Lord God. Merciful. That's how he governs us. Not by law. He said, listen. Merciful. Gracious. Long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Listen here, keeping mercy, keeping it. Got abundance of it. Keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins. And here's the thing here that will by no means clear the guilty. So if we've offended in the law, how in the world can we be clear? If we're guilty, how can we be clear? Well, I'm going to tell you. Look over here in verse 18. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee in the time of the month Abib. For in the month of Abib thou camest up out of Egypt. And the Lord brought them up out of Egypt's bondage, out of slavery. And he brought them to himself. And he calls it here, the first thing he calls it, the feast. The feast of unleavened bread. 7 days you're going to eat unleavened bread, and as I commanded thee, and I brought you out of Egypt. Now let me tell you, he redeems us and brought us out of Egypt, first and foremost, to feast. He said, you've got to feast. Oh, keep the feast. He redeems us to feast with him. And that's why that Passover lamb, that blood was shed. That blood was shed and put over the lid of those doors. So God, he said, when he passed over us, and he says, now when I do that, listen, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to have a feast. I just brought you out of Egypt. I just passed over you. I provided a lamb for you. I shed blood for you. And why did you do that? To save you from slavery, to save you from sin, to save you from your iniquities, to save you from your rebellion. Oh my. And I tell you, when we talk about feast, that speaks of, boy, everybody sitting down, eating big, and communion and joy. And he sets us free from sin and from Egyptian slavery to sit down and eat. That's what we do if we gather here. Huh? And all he called is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that's connected with the Passover. Now I want you keep this, and I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to show you. Look at this right here. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 7. Excuse me, 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 5:7. But you know it, he talks here in verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Men glorying in anything that they do. It's not good. What have we got to glory in? What have we accomplished? What did we do to save ourselves? Your glory's not good. Don't boast. Don't brag. Don't glory in yourself. What you've accomplished. What did you have to do with salvation? And he said, oh, listen, your glory's not good. And then he says in verse 6, know you not, still in verse 6, that a little leaven leavened the whole lump. All it takes is just a tiny bit of leaven to leaven the whole lump. A little self-glory, a little self-will, a little self-righteousness. You add anything to Christ and His accomplished salvation and you ruin it all.
Yeah.
ruin it all. And then he goes on, purge out therefore the old leaven. Oh, listen. We're not going to glory in self anymore. We're going to glory in Christ. That you may be a new lump. Now listen to this. As you are unleavened. You're unleavened. You ain't got no leaven in you. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Who's our Passover? Christ. Now watch this. Therefore let us keep the feast. Not with all that old leaven that we had, our old religion and our old self and self-will and self-glory and all that. Let's don't do that. He said, you know, we're unleavened. Therefore, let's keep the feast. Christ was passed over for us. He's our Passover. So let's keep the feast. Keep the feast. And I tell you what, beloved. And you know, when it says that we're unleavened. Leaven always represented sin. And we're unleavened. You know why we're unleavened? Because Christ put away our sin. He put away all our sin. And they said, keep the feast of unleavened bread. We're unleavened. Why? Because our sins are gone. Christ our Passover. He was our Passover sacrifice for us. God can commune with us and fellowship with us. God counts us to have died with Christ. You know, the scripture says that he died unto sin once. In that he liveth to the glory of God. Likewise, reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin. And Paul told the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he said this, we thus judge that Christ died for all. Now listen to this, then we're all dead. If Christ died for all, you know what happened? The ones he died for, they died with him. They're dead with him. And so that's why it says, consider yourself dead. Dead to what? To sin. Dead to the world. Dead even to self. I've heard this story, and I know you have too, time and time and time again. You go to somebody's grave that you think the world of, and you go up there, and I'll tell you, there ain't nobody been perfect. You can go to anybody's grave, and you can stand there and tell them all the things that aggravated you about them. They aggravated you about it. I mean, they just aggravated you and troubled you and vexed you and all the times you got angry and all that, you know. Go up there, walk up front of their tomb, and I mean, just tell them, you made me feel this, you done this other thing, and I tell you, I just can't understand. Oh, you drove me nuts sometimes. Never heard a word. Now tell them, oh my, but I loved you. Oh, I love you. Just tell them all the wonderful qualities they had. Tell them, oh, how sweet they was and how pretty they was and how strong they was. And how, you know, tell them how they love Christ and all that. They won't hear a word. And God make us that way to this world and everything in it. No matter what anybody says to it. Let's just keep our minds and hearts and ears on Christ. Huh? Ain't that right? That's what our Lord, that's what He said. Huh? And we're to express this unleavened life as we live in this world, in our daily lives. Huh? And you know, when it talks about the unleavened bread, our Lord Jesus Christ was the true bread from heaven. And that true bread that came from heaven was unleavened. What does that mean? That means he was without sin. We have such a high priest, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world and he had no sin, did no sin, knew no sin. So he was the unleavened bread. And if we're in him, we're unleavened too. We have no sin. They have no sin. They feasted on unleavened bread. We feast on Christ, the true bread. The one that put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. And I tell you, when Israel participated in that feast, That typified, showed the holiness and righteousness which believers have in Christ. Christ is our bread, unleavened without sin. And so they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread back over in Exodus 34. 7 days. 7 days. You know what seven in the Scriptures means? It means complete. It means perfect. Seven means always. Seven always means perfect. Complete. Complete. 7 days. Or else you could say our life, or the whole of our life on earth. And you know, we feast on the Lord Jesus Christ without any leaven, without any addition. And the Scriptures tells us that you are complete in Him. Perfect in Him. Perfect in Him. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then look what He said in verse 19. Oh my. That's why, you know, He cleared us from our guilt. We was guilty. I'll tell you what, I never loved God. Didn't even know God. Till I was way up in my 20s, late 20s. Didn't even know Him. Didn't have a clue what He is like. But until He made me know Him, revealed Himself to me. So I was guilty. Well, how in the world is He going to clear me? He can't. What does He got to do? He's got to shed blood. Slay a lamb. And when that lamb was slain, God said, when I see that Passover, when I see that blood, I'm going to go over you. And God went over all of His elect because of the blood of Christ. He passes over all of them. Cleared them of their guilt. Cleared them of their sin by Christ our Passover sacrifice for us. And now wherever sin's at, there can't be no... Wherever sin's gone, there can't be no guilt. I ain't got nothing to be guilty of. Is that not right? If you ain't got no sin, what do you got to be guilty of? Say, well, I don't love God as much ought to. That's not what the Bible says. Got to love Him perfectly, completely. All the heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Now, where in the world am I going to get somebody that can do that for me? The Lord Jesus Christ loved God. And because I was viewed in Him and represented in Him and everything He did, I love God in Christ. My faith is not perfect. My faith is not perfect. Ain't even close to being perfect. So where in the world am I going to get perfect faith? We live by the faith of the Son of God. His faithfulness. What He did. Now that'll give you a little comfort for your soul. Oh my. And I tell you, and then look what He said here now in verse 19. All that opens a matrix is mine. What He's talking about, everything that's born of a woman or an animal is mine. It's mine. And whether it's a cow, an ox, or a sheep, a son or a daughter, said it don't make any difference. You know why God said it's all mine? Because He's the only one that can give life. He's the only one that can put it in the womb. He's the only one that can... It's rightfully His when it comes out. Huh? God owns all. He created all. And His rights are absolute. You know, I'll tell you, and I know this without a shadow of a doubt. I know this, and this is hard for us to deal with as human beings, mothers and fathers. But mothers and fathers, our children are not ours absolutely. They're really not. In reality, they belong to the Lord. Is that not right? That's what. Have you given your child to Him? You know, she brought Samuel and gave him to the Lord. Huh? And the Scriptures, you know, people talk about christening babies and baptizing babies, and there's no infant dedication. But you know, our Lord's mother and father, in the days of her purification, the Scripture says they went up to the temple to present their child to the Lord. When you have a child, Lord, here he is. It's yours. And I tell you what, you say, oh, listen, and if God comes and takes a child, it was not ours to start with, it was His. It'll hurt. Oh, I'm not saying it won't hurt. I'm not saying that it won't make you to grieve. I'm not saying it won't make you just to hurt and cry and weep and feel like your heart's tore out and the flesh coming off your bones. But I tell you what, I really, really believe that. Huh? I really do. Anything that God gives us, it belongs to Him. That's what Job said. The Lord gave. He gave me 10 children. Storm come through and killed all 10 of them at one time. He said, the Lord gave. And the Lord took away. And He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Did He suffer? Oh, He suffered. He lay 7 days without one word being spoken in a place where potsherds were. And he's bulls, and he's scraping himself, busting up the bulls and all the pus running out of him. His body was awful and stinking. But he still said, the Lord gave. God said, his wife come to him and said, go ahead, Job, cuss God, just cuss Him. And die. You know what he said to her? He said, you acting and talking like a fool. That's what we're talking about. God having claims on us. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you what. Now, I'm sure when some of you all was having your children, carry them in your womb, you said, Lord, I want these children to know you. I want my children to know you. I heard a parent pray one time, said, Lord, if you're not going to save my children, don't let me have none. I could tell you who that is that said that. Said, don't let me have no children if you ain't going to save them. If you're not going to save them. Well, they're children. They had them. God saved them. They worship Christ. You're in a sovereign grace church. Oh, and every firstling of a flock among the cattle is going to be mine. Keep Exodus and look with me over in Psalm 50. Look down here in verse 9. Now listen to what he said here. I'll take no bullock, no bull out of your house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. So he does this. He says, everything is mine. And I want you to know that I've got the claim on you. Even though everything in this world is already mine. Already mine. And I tell you what, we're stewards of God. Paul said, if a man's a steward, it's counted that he be faithful. Now, what are we stewards of? Well, you got any money? God let you have it. Huh? Got any health? God gave you that. Got any talents? God gave them to you. Got a right mind? God gave it to you. So everything, we even made us stewards over our own bodies. That's why I said, if a man's given to gluttony, let him put a knife to his throat. Because he's going to eat himself to death. Going to kill himself. And the scriptures tells us all those things. We're stewards. Stewards over everything God gave us. And that's why the Lord's people live like they do. Because everything they know, God gave it to their... You know what we do? He yells out his hand, gives us things. All we do is take. We ain't never give him nothing. Have we ever given him anything?
No.
Does he need anything from us?
No.
Only thing he wants from us is worship. Heart worship. Huh? And then look here in verse 20. I got to hurry. And the firstling of an ass, or an old mule. Let's talk about a mule or an old donkey. That's what it's called. Is the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if you redeem him not, you shall break his neck. And all the firstborns of thy sons shalt thou redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. Now, if you don't redeem him with a lamb, if you don't pay for it with a lamb, that old mule, that old donkey, if you don't redeem him with a lamb, you know what he says? Kill him. Break his neck. Break his neck. And you know, under the law, the donkey, the ass, was an unclean animal. He neither chewed the cud nor divided the hoof. And you know what it talks about us? Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're all as an unclean thing. Huh? Tell you something else about these things. They're stupid and they're senseless. That sounds like you got to be redeemed by a lamb or kill him. That's us. Oh, the natural man don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Stupid and senseless. But thank God it said he had come and given us an understanding. We may know him that is true. This is the true God, even Jesus Christ. Tell you something else about these things that he said, redeem him with the lamb. He's stubborn. He's obstinate. And he's hard to get to move sometimes. They'll just sull up. Just stop. You can't get them to move. And that's the way man is. Oh, he's stubborn. He's obstinate. He'll sull up sometimes, you know. And you know, that's what God calls us. He told Job, he said, we're like a wild ass's colt. Snuffing the wind up on the hillside. And do you see yourself like this? Oh, stupid and senseless and unclean. Stubborn and obstinate. Well, that portrays us. And I tell you, if God done us, treated us like we deserved, he'd have broke our necks. He'd have broke our necks. But he said this, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Huh? Oh, the firstling of an ox, ass shall thou redeem with a lamb. I was the first one in my family. He didn't break my neck. He bought me with a lamb. Redeemed me with a lamb. Oh my. And then I love this there in verse 20, last part of verse 20. And none shall appear before me empty. If you've been redeemed by a lamb, and you've been called to the feast, and you've got the lamb, and you've ate that lamb, and you've got that unleavened bread, the Lord Jesus Christ, how in the world can we appear before Him empty? Huh? We've been redeemed with a lamb. And the redeemed can't appear before the Redeemer empty. We can't appear before God empty. Why? We've got Christ. We've got everything God required. And oh my. Well, let me show you this, and I'm going to wind this little message up. You know, worship. Worship, he said, none shall appear before me empty. You know, the first time the word worship is mentioned in the Old Testament is when Abraham, when God told him to take his son up on the mountain and offer him there. You know what Abraham said when he left those men? You know, they went a 3 days journey, got up there to the mountain. Mount Moriah, got up there, and he said, you all wait here. I and the lad are going to go worship and come again to you. And all worship, in all worship, you got to have something to present to the Lord. The first time in the New Testament the word worship is presented and mentioned is when the wise men brought gifts to Christ when he was an infant in Bethlehem. And when we're going to worship God and come before him, we got to worship and present him something. What are we going to present him? Here, Lord, here's your blessed son. He loved me, gave himself for me, died for me, lives for me, intercedes for me, keeps me. And Lord, I dare not come into your presence without him, without his blood, without his righteousness, without his name, without his worth, without his merit. That's the only way I can come. But oh my, we'll never ever appear before the Lord empty. Never. Really. All right. I would say something about that verse 6, but told to working, but I'm not going to do that. I'll just let it go right there. We're not going to go before him empty. We're not going to go before him empty. Oh, our blessed, blessed Master, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. Blessed be your name. Oh Lord. Oh God, you're to be worshipped, you're to be adored. And we always would not dare come before you except the way you told us to. Even our Lord himself says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. So here we come, like we always do. In that blessed person, in that precious name, that blessed name, that glorious name, that saving name, that strong name, that precious name, that name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you for allowing us to come into your presence. Thank you for allowing us to meet again. And blessed be your name that you allowed us to come into your presence and for allowing us to speak and preach your gospel, to mention our Lord Jesus Christ again, as he is, as he is. We praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.